A reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Confirming one's calling and election. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, this is the last Sunday in the series on the gift of being yourself, and I have enjoyed myself kind of going through it again. I think there is much that could be mined and much that could be pursued in this kind of this quest to really discover who we are, but not by just looking into ourselves, but really by just looking at God and allowing God to speak deeply into the very essence of our being as to who we are and what God has called us to do. And while we've been going through this series, we've leaned heavily on a book written by David Benner called The Gift of Being Yourself. And I would encourage you at some point to even pick it up for yourself and take some time to read through it. But in it, I'm going to also, it's a day of quotations, I guess, but I love what he says when he begins chapter 6. He writes this: "The true self is who you are and who you are becoming. It is not something you need to construct through a process of self-improvement or deconstruct by means of psychological analysis." Okay, so kind of big stuff. "But it is not an object to be grasped, nor is it an archetype," which means like an original to be imitated. "It is not even some inner hidden part of you. Rather, it is your total self as you were created by God and as you are being redeemed in Christ." Are you catching this? I should have maybe just started here, but what we're talking about here, it is your total self as you were created by God and as you are being redeemed in Christ. It is the image of God that you are. Listen to this. This is powerful. It is the image of God that you are, the unique face of God that has been set aside from eternity for you. We do not find our true self by seeking it. Rather, we find it by seeking God. There is something extremely sacred. And I think in some degrees, in some of our evangelical context, where we have actually diminished who we are as human beings. We have a tendency, often those that have been brought up in the church, to carry with us a lot of guilt and shame, because we had it drilled into us over and over and over again how bad we are, how evil we are, and how depraved we are. Now, that's all true. However, when that's all you hear or all you focus on, I think it distorts many things. Because yes, those other things are true, but you were created in the image of God. And there is something amazing and wonderfully sacred about being human, being a human being. And not just in that general sense of being human, but in the very unique sense of who you are, each one of you in this room. That God, I just love how he says this here, it is the image of God that you are, the unique face of God that has been set aside from eternity for you. I've said this a few times, and people always, you know, they're like, "What?" But I'll try to say it again. The heart of God is that you would allow Jesus to be the Jesus that Jesus would be if Jesus was being Jesus in you. Now, if that didn't make any sense, the point is that there's a uniqueness to each one of us that reflects the character and heart of God. And as Jesus is being Jesus in me, that's going to look a little different than how Jesus is being Jesus through you. Because we're each unique. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're not striving for something. We're just trying to receive all that God has for us. So as I've tried to make clear throughout this whole series, the human question, the question that everyone asks, who am I? And the theological question of who is God, they are actually almost inseparably linked together. As we seek to discover who God is, we discover more of who we are. And we cannot really find out who we are outside of who God is. Okay? You with me? It is by losing ourselves in God that we discover our true identity. And I think this is what Jesus was trying to say. He says it in a few places, but in Mark 8:34-36, he said, If any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life, or like we talked about last week, the false self, whoever is trying to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their life? Or the joy, I would add, of being your true self. So there is this sense where we have to discover our true identity, we have to let go of a lot of stuff. We have to let go of the false self that I talked about last week. And we have to embrace and fully embrace who Jesus is. The foundation of our identity, it resides in our life-giving relationship with the one who is the source of all life. Any identity, hear this, that exists any identity that we try to live out outside of this source of life, this God that we talk about, Jesus, it's an illusion. Any identity that exists apart from this relationship is an illusion. Do you catch the full impact of that? In other words, if anyone who's seeking to strive to be something or do something or build something, and they're doing that outside of their relationship with God, everything they're doing is like an illusion. And in the end, the Scripture says it's just like grass. It just blows away. There's nothing to it. That's pretty potent stuff if we contemplate that this morning. So all of our striving, all of our sense of trying to achieve and try to cry out to the rest of the world, I'm here, like the little who's Horton, here's the who, the little who people, we're here. And all that we're trying to do and proclaiming to the world, somebody notice me, somebody see me, somebody acknowledge me, all of that outside of our relationship with God, it's an illusion. It has no context to it. It's a lie. So how do we become our true self? Or what does it mean to become our true self? I'm going to try to touch on this. It's always funny to me, a little sidetrack here, but you have these concepts and these ideas. Like this idea of becoming your true self, to me it's almost like, how in the world, with the 20 or so minutes that are remaining to me, am I going to do this? It's like, it's virtually impossible, right? So all I can do is throw a little seed out there and hope that it's maybe some of it will take root, and start to germinate in your hearts, or maybe you'll pursue some stuff more. But anyway, becoming your true self. First of all, we've talked about this over and over and over again throughout this series, that becoming your true self is an identity that's grounded firmly in the heart of God. The true self can exist only in relation to God. And we see the clearest expression of this, and this is where we can kind of get maybe some teeth to it, but to me, the clearest expression of the true self we see lived out in the life of Jesus. You see, we talk a lot about the divinity of Jesus, and that's a key point for us as Christians, that Jesus was divine. But Jesus was also fully human. In fact, Jesus Christ is the perfect expression of humanity and what we are called to be as human beings. Jesus is the one, as we see and as we look to Jesus, we see how to find ourself in relation to God. The self we find hidden in Christ is our true self, because Christ is the source of our being and the basis of our true identity. I mean, this is, if you haven't been going to Tony's class, she would be going into much greater depth with all this stuff. But there's just a simple passage in 1 Corinthians that says, "For as in Adam, all die." Okay? So we're born into that. We're born into death. We're born into the false self, so to speak. And we strive and, carry on and fuss and do all this stuff through life until we come to this next part. So in Christ, all will be made alive. So if you want to experience life, if you want to experience what it really is to be human and to be you, to be uniquely human, you will find that in Christ. You say, yeah, I know that. You say that every week and I come to church and blah, 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 blah. No, this is stuff. This is a lifelong quest and journey to discover and to grow near and to look at and to reflect and to gaze upon and to meditate on the person of Christ. And to be changed through that relationship and to become the person that God created me to be. See, in Jesus knew who he was. I find this fascinating. Jesus knew who he was. And even when they tried to make him a king by force in John chapter 6, he knew, my time has not yet come. I know who I am. I don't need your accolades. I don't need you to lift me up and make me a king. I'm already a king. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus, not me. Okay, yeah. All right. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know. It was all good. He didn't have to strive for that. Or when the devil tempted Jesus with wealth and power in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is like, I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what my purpose here in this life. I don't need that stuff. He knew. He was comfortable with who he was. He was confident in his relationship to God, the Father, and he was comfortable with his mission that he was sent to fulfill on the earth. It's powerful. So Jesus is a great example, and you could do whole sermon series on this, on how he saw himself in relationship to God, the Father, and how he lived that out here in this life. Another thing that's impacted, though, as we discover who we are in Christ, is the idea of vocation. Vocation like calling. What are we supposed to do, right? So I want to talk just a little bit about that this morning. The idea of vocation is it points us toward a purpose of being that is grounded in God rather than ourselves. Now again, it's easy for me just to rip by that sentence, but think about this. It is a purpose that you and I have in this life that is not grounded in what we can do, but it's grounded in God rather than in ourselves. Now this impacts a lot of things, and I'm going to talk about it. This was a life-changing thing for me when I came to Jesus. Because when I came to Jesus, I had no sense of purpose. I had lost my way completely. I not only was asking the question, who am I, but I was asking the question, what am I here for? What is my purpose? What's the use of existence? Why should I go on living? And that's a big question for a lot of people, and unfortunately, people answer it in a lot of different ways. And some very tragic ways. But when we come to Jesus Christ, when we begin to discover our true identity, we begin to understand also our purpose. Why are we here? What are we supposed to do? So what are some of these things that God is calling us to? I think the first thing, real basically, and I kind of touched on this before, but God is just calling you to be human. You say, what? I thought you'd say at least he's calling us to be Christians first. No, you know what? He's calling you to be human. Because you were created in the image of God. And again, I touched on this already, that there's something uniquely sacred about being a human being. And Jesus wants you to discover what that means. You look, you guys, I feel like maybe it's hot or something or tired or maybe I'm not doing a very good job. I don't know. But there is something powerful in what we're discussing here. Because I guarantee you that you don't jump on a match train and start harassing little Muslim girls and then kill two people with any kind of an understanding of what it means to be a human being. You just don't do that. This question is fundamental to who we are sitting here today. What does it really mean to be a human being? What does it mean to enjoy and enter into the sacredness of being human and uniquely human? And Jesus is extending this invitation to us to discover what it means to be truly human. And again, I'll just say, to be truly human, no matter what our convictions are, does not lie in violence and in hatred and in all these other expressions that we see going on all around us from all sides, from all different kinds of people. I don't care who you are or what your political leanings are or what your religious leanings are. I'm just talking at the most fundamental level right now. Now, I would add to that, I don't think we can discover that fully outside of our relationship to Jesus. But God calls us to be humans. God is seeking those who will embrace the abundant life, who will allow God to heal their broken hearts, as Sissy was talking about restoration earlier, extend love to their enemies, and embrace God's design to be in relationship with their Creator, others, themselves, and all of creation. As Switchfoot, how many of you know Switchfoot? Okay, dating myself, all six of you. I should have played the video, but they had a song called There's a New Way to Be Human. Love that song. I love just the title of it. New Way to Be Human. So the second thing, and this is what you would have expected me to list first that I think God calls us into, is we're called to be Christians. This builds on the first by showing us the route to the fulfillment of our humanity. Genuine Christ following will always make us more, not less, human. Did you hear that? Because I see some religious people that they come across like they're super, you know, I should be careful here, but kind of hyper spiritual. Now, I want to be totally sold out to Jesus. I want to be radical for God. I want to be dangerous for God. But there's an element sometimes that we slip into that's not very human. It's weird. Like, it's just weird. I'll go over to the other side. Yes. I'll just move over here. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She's wanting my attention. I'm totally distracted. I don't have any idea what I was talking about. Yeah, she's, okay, yes. Human, thank you. Jesus is not calling you to be some hyper-religious freakoid. Like, sometimes I meet people, and they won't even talk about, you can't even talk to them about, like, the Portland Timbers. Because that's not spiritual, right? Actually, you go to a Portland Timbers game, it's very spiritual. They worship there. This is the wrong thing, yes. The point is, Christianity, I think, should make us more human, not less human. Following Jesus, even with all your heart and dedicated to the Scriptures and going to church all the time and engaging in life groups and all that stuff, it should be creating in us a true humanity. Is that making sense? Okay. In fact, it's made sense 20 minutes ago. The third thing that we're called to then is to mission. So this is what we're called to right now. We're talking about our true selves. We're called to be human. We are called to be Christian or Christ followers. We're also then called to be on mission. Our very way of being should be a blessing to others. Just living our lives, we should be a blessing to those around us. We should be bringing the light into the darkness. We should just be communicating the things of the kingdom as human beings. Yeah. I believe as we do that, it's as we do that at the zoo, working at the zoo. It's as we do that in our school. It's as we do that in wherever we're working. It's as we do that in our families. It's as we do it in our everyday, ordinary lives. Just living our lives, not hyper-religiously again, but just open to the work and the love of God, opening to that relationship we have with God. Sometimes, we do share that with other people. We do share the message. We do share what God is doing. I'm not saying we don't do that, but it's done in this way that just gives glory to God and is lived out as a human being who's following after Jesus and has discovered this intimacy with their Creator and is just living out of that. And that will touch the world and it will touch those around us in a very powerful way. Amen. The fourth thing that is our vocation, again, talking about this idea of what we do, it should flow out of our identity. And we've talked about this before, but sometimes we try to find ourselves in what we do. Like, I've been pastoring now I've been in full-time Christian ministry for a long time. I don't even know what year, 37 years, 36 years. 36 years. And I say to myself, I could just walk away. You know, my identity's not in being a pastor. My identity's not, you know, in being in full-time. I wonder. I mean, I really wonder. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, a lot of, we identify ourselves with what we do. And that becomes, we think that's who we are. It's a little bit of a reversal. That's really more of the false self. The true self walks in the calling of God and does what we do based on who we are and who God created us to be. It's kind of like what David just said, a brewer on the video. They go into the play, they go into really impoverished communities, by the way, to do this work. But they go in and they try to discover what God's already doing, basically, and who the people are and what's going on. Then out of that, they create a work, you know, a business as a group. Again, Jesus is such an incredible example to us, and this passage always just speaks powerfully to me. Listen to this. In John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. Let me say that again. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. Now that sounds like a pretty healthy understanding of who He is, right? Pretty powerful understanding of His true self. This is who Jesus is. This is what He's living into. But look at what He does with that knowledge, with that awareness that that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. This is just profound. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Now, I don't exactly know what it means to take off your outer garments, but I can guarantee you, you would not want me doing that right now. And He wraps a towel around Him, and He does really the lowest job that you could imagine. He bends over the Son of God, whom all power has been given to Him. He knows He's come from God. He's going back to God, that He is God, and that He gets down to wash His disciples' feet. I'm telling you something, when you know who you are, you can do anything, including it's just the most humble task. You know, it's just, this is, speaks loudly to me because I get put in positions, I've alluded to them in a few of my messages, where I get put in positions where I am being treated like that foot washer. Not like the Jesus, but I'm being treated like that, like a low person. And it deeply challenges me. It does not sit good with me. And I have risen up on different occasions and defended myself in a way that now, even soon afterwards, I just think, man. Now, I have to be kind of careful about this because I can get off. This is a big subject because there is a time to have boundaries. There's a time to say, that's just not right. You can't do that to me. You know, there's a place for that. So don't misunderstand me. But in my experiences, really, I think what God has been doing is just cultivating more humility in my life. Like, there's just things about me where I'm the false self, where I'm proud. You know, the false self that when they're treating me in that way, everything within me wants to rise up and start telling them who I am and they, you know, and what, yeah, you know, like it just, if you only knew, you know, I'm not just this guy coming in to hang a dispenser in your school. You know, I'm a pastor. People, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know? This whole idea, the point here is the connection between what we do and who we are. And if you place all of who you are and what you do, what are you going to do when you can't do that anymore? When you, maybe, well, you might. Some people, that's devastating. You know, I know people whose vocation has changed and they're devastated. They can hardly carry on. Just, we have to, what we do should come out of who we are. So let me just, I got to kind of wrap things up. So let me just do this. You may still be sitting here saying, okay, this is good. I want to become the true self that you've just been talking about. Everything I've talked about today is this idea of becoming the true self. It's the last Sunday that we're going to be looking at this. But you may still be asking yourself, how do I discover my true identity? You haven't really said. How do I know what God is asking me to do? It's the big questions, right? They're the questions that we ask really through life. So the first thing I just want to say is remember that what we're talking about here in this little 7-week series that we've done is something that you're going to be dealing with and pursuing for the rest of your life. That's the reality of it. The gift of being yourself, again, is something that we discover, something we receive from God. And I think it's an ongoing process. So I can't just snap my fingers and neither can you. And now, whoo, I'm just the true self, you know. Hallelujah. It's a journey. Second, I would invite you, again, to participate in the activities of this community. I believe that discovering who we truly are in Christ is not just a solitary experience. I've discovered more about who I am in Christ hanging soap dispensers than I have almost in any other context. While I'm interacting with other people and being challenged in my relationship with God and how I'm responding in certain situations. It happens also in the context just here in the church when we have disagreements or somebody rubs us the wrong way. Are we going to grow through those experiences or are we just going to leave the church and go somewhere else and not really grow? You with me? So I want to encourage you to participate, like especially in our life groups. But, you know, and I know that sometimes Sunday mornings are tough or we just don't feel like we get much out of them. But again, it's like if, you know, I probably have said this before, but can anybody tell me what you ate for dinner a week ago Friday? So not even this last Friday, but a week ago Friday. Can you tell me what you had for dinner? Anybody? You seriously can, Mark? Because you have it every Friday or something? Okay. My point is, because I don't remember what the message was, or I don't remember what this was, or I don't see the value in going to church. Well, you skip enough meals, and it's going to start taking a toll on you. You see, you may not remember what you ate unless you're Mark and eat pizza every Friday, or Jim must eat pizza every Friday too, or something, because he raised his hand back then. Oh. And she's not here to defend herself. Negative experience. But anyway, that's good. That's good. The point is, when we aren't eating regularly, when we're not interacting in the community, when we're not engaged in life groups, when we're not hanging out and having coffee with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to start to starve to death. And this is a part of us discovering who we are. We discover who we are, again, not just in the church, but in life, in community. All right? So third, I would just encourage you to, and I've done this, but you can read David Benner's book. It would allow you the time to really chew on what we've spoken about over the last 7 weeks. And finally, I these are just kind of general things, but I think they would help us. I want to just encourage you to continue to do what God has already clearly revealed to us in the Bible. Just start doing what's already there. You might say, what am I supposed to do? What's my call in this life? What am I supposed to... There, just open your Bible up and you'll find plenty to do. Really. I mean, in a good way. Like, not you can... Some people got the idea that they're going to open up the Bible and find out what they're not supposed to do. Well, we all know that already. Why don't we open up the Bible and find out what we're supposed to do? And there's some pretty basic stuff there that actually is a lot of work, like loving one another. That'll keep you busy for the rest of your life. Right? I mean, just serving one another, showing hospitality. Show hospitality. Loving your enemies. Don't go there. I'm not getting that serious. So there's lots of stuff, though, is all I'm saying. There's tons of stuff, and we can just do that. You don't have to have some super, like, woo, I'm going to go to, you know, I don't know, wherever. All right. Well, that made a lot of sense. So I want to conclude with this. This is what Doreen read earlier. I want you just to kind of contemplate this as we close today. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Those are powerful verses. You have been given divine power to become the person God created you to be. You've been given divine power to be free of the false self and to become, again, the true self. So that through them, it says, you may participate in the divine nature. Wow. We can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by, I'll say, our false self. Father, to me, this is a mine full of riches. Just this passage alone, that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of you, you've given us everything we need. And I pray today, God, even as Nicole read earlier from Richard Foster, Lord, we confess that we get so distracted. It just seems so easy to just get out of touch with who we are and of the divine call and of your divine nature within us. And we get locked into stuff sometimes, just pursuing this or chasing after that. We can even do it in a religious context, Lord. We can just get caught up in stuff. And Lord, I just pray that as we live out our lives, as we work and as we eat and as we relate to people and as we recreate, as we do the things that we do, as we interact with those around us, as we come to church or whatever we do, God, I pray for that still small voice to just, we thank you really for that still small voice that consistently, persistently calls our name. Help us to live into you and to live into what it really means to be human. What it really means to be the people that you uniquely created each one of us to be. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.